Hello, Mr. President. You enjoy the evening?
I think it was really very nice.
Which one did you go to?
I went to the symphony concert and... I saw the last part of it. Came in
the intermission, and boy, that Armandy certainly knows how to play up to a piano, doesn't he?
Beautiful. That is really hard to do.
The Grieg, of course, is a famous. Every pianist loves to play it, but orchestras usually overwhelm it. And of course, this Cliburn was never better. And Armandy, they're both great actors. We're just fantastic.
It was done with great delicacy.
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
Right. And I thought all the choral groups, and then that 1812 thing is a good patriotic motif.
Yeah. Great evening. And I like the spirit of the people who are there.
Oh, yes.
Our people. But
yeah.
One keeps
it's all right. There, they actually were, they're actually, though, I compared with 4 years ago, they were all, I went to the symphony down at Constitution Hall, and they were all, I mean, they were cheering and everything, but this time, you know, there's more shouting.
Oh, and there's tremendous pride.
Yeah, yeah.
When one walks through these halls,
right,
people
right.
come up.
I bet you really needed your Secret Service last night,
oh,
didn't you?
Oh, God.
But they were nice, weren't they, all the people
oh,
and
the
everything?
People, they couldn't. It's really moving because...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they see through a lot of this stuff that
oh,
we all
God.
See.
I mean, everyone says...
do the right
tell
thing.
Tell the president to just thank God, and mm-hmm. it's really a mm-hmm. very moving thing.
What is the word from Haig?
He's had a session, and Chu has written you another letter, but...
oh, God.
Well, it's important, I think, that we are patient, because what the guy is doing, he's obviously posturing himself step by step. He's now reduced... In his last letter, he made 4 conditions. He's now reduced them to 2, and of which 1 we can't even consider, and 1 we can probably get him. He's also sending his foreign minister to Paris to meet with me.
Oh, God.
Well, Mr. President, it has this advantage.
And yeah.
First, my first reaction was exactly like you, and
yeah.
I've been in now for 2 hours analyzing it together with my staff. And we all have come to this conclusion. The problem with him is if we initial an agreement on Tuesday without visible participation by them, it's a great loss of face.
Yeah.
If he has his foreign minister there,
yeah.
then he can claim he participated.
Yeah.
And
the foreign minister is his nephew?
No.
It's another one.
His nephew is that little bastard kid who is the minister of information.
Yep.
The foreign minister is an ass, and he won't be able to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I thought, though, Mr. President, we should do is this. We should send him a letter by you in reply, saying you're delighted his foreign minister will be there, and, of course, I'll talk to him and brief him fully. But you have instructed me to proceed with initialing.
Right.
I will try to get that one change in the protocols that they want, and on this, they are not... wrong. I think Sullivan goofed on that.
What is
it
about?
Another major point. The problem is Sullivan put into the protocol, and I didn't watch that the police should carry only pistols.
Mm-hmm.
They point out that their police carries carbines and M16 rifles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think we can probably get something done, but even if we can't in changing it, at least we can tell him you're going to make the effort. But what we should put in the letter from you is that you must have an answer from him by noon tomorrow, whether, even though you have instructed me to seek that change, he will concur in letting us initial it.
Letting us?
He will concur in our initialing it.
Yeah.
Because if not, you will have to initial it unilaterally.
Yeah.
And you would then have to call the congressional leaders in Sunday night prior to my departure and inform them of that fact. I mean, you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
I just want to give him an explanation why he has to answer tomorrow.
Yeah.
That once the congressional leaders are informed, aid will become difficult, even if he then still finally comes along.
Yeah, that the congressional leaders will in my opinion, be adamant in saying that we should go unilaterally and not seek further cooperation.
My worry is if we don't give him an absolutely unshakable deadline,
mm-hmm.
he will yield. I will now bet it. I would say the chances are 99 out of 100.
It's a question of which day. I guess we all thought he'd yield Tuesday, and now we thought he'd yield Saturday. And
no, I never thought he'd yield Tuesday. I thought.
Well, no. I mean, some did.
He'd yield either today or next Tuesday. And what we have to bring home to him is that Tuesday is too late.
That's right. Yes, at the time.
But Haig and Bunker and our intelligence chief there. We have, all their units have already been informed that the ceasefire will go in.
Why don't you say this, that before, and he doesn't need to know that one, I said, before you leave for Paris on Sunday evening, I have to meet with congressional leaders, that at that time they are going to ask whether that I will have to tell them yes or no, whether or not he will concur in the initialing.
Right.
That we will do our best, but I cannot guarantee. But in any event, we will try. But if I tell the congressional leaders that we're not concur, then that it is my judgment without is my that I am convinced from having talked to Senator Goldwater and Senator Stennis, who are his major supporters in the Senate, that they will. Throw up their hands. That they will in effect direct. They will effect inform me that the Congress will not go along on further aid unless he goes along on Tuesday.
Right.
How about putting it that way?
Exactly.
Tell him I'm going to have a meeting with congressional leaders.
Well,
you see, he doesn't need to know whether we have it or not. Or you don't want to say that?
I think.
You see,
we'll say you'll have a meeting, and at that time. You'll have to tell them on what basis we're proceeding.
Yes, that as I tell them, I'm going to have a meeting on Sunday. That on that with the congressional leaders before you leave, which is say with selected congressional leaders.
Yeah.
With the selected congressional leaders before you leave, at that time, they will the question will be. I have been informed that the question will be raised as to whether or not he will concur. In our initialing of the agreement, if his answer is that he will not concur in the initialing of the agreement, that the congressional leaders, in my view, without question, then will move to cut off assistance. Is that going too far? In other words, I don't know whether the threat is goes too far or not, but I'll do any damn thing it is, or to cut off his head if necessary. But
the way to put it, I think, Mr. President, is to say that even if he should then later come along,
yes, that is,
instances will do him no good because they will look as if they'd been extorted.
Yeah, that is the problem. Is that if he waits, I feel it is imperative. That when I meet with the congressional leaders, tell him that I'm going to meet with the congressional leaders, that I'm going to inform them at that time that I've been in consultation with President Tu, that Dr. Kissinger will go to Paris Tuesday, that he will initial the agreement on Tuesday. At that time, unless I can tell, they will inevitably ask whether or not President Tu, despite some differences which he has mentioned, whether or not he will concur. If I am unable to tell him that he will concur, his going on later will appear to them to have been an extortion, and will probably, without question, result in congressional cutoff of aid. Or how's that sound, or something like that? Does that go too far? See what I mean?
No, I think that's right. That's what we should do.
And we'll without question, I feel it is imperative that in confidence that I be able to tell the congressional leaders that he has objections, that we will do our best on the Tuesday session to try to get those objections dealt with. And that we will raise those objections, but that we are going to initial. But that if I don't, but if he, and that you're going to meet with the foreman, but I must have a private assurance from him that I can pass on to them in total privacy, selected leaders, that he will concur. Otherwise, I think his aid, the aid which we both, which I want very much for South Vietnam, will be in very, very deadly jeopardy.
Right.
Something along that line, maybe he'll do it.
I completely agree.
Well, whatever it is, I'm resigned to it. We've had so many disappointments in this thing
well,
over the 4 years.
Well, nothing easy.
Fought every battle.
Let me try and hear what Bunker is saying.
Bunker's not much in touch with anything anymore, sort of.
No, but no, this is from Haig. He says it is important that we view Chu's response in the context of Oriental pride and faith. Chu has up until now dug in firmly against the agreement. It is already apparent from intelligence that the military, the NEC, and other personal advisors are having no problem with the prospect of Chu signing.
That what?
Are having no prospect with the problem of Chu signing.
Yeah.
Bunker and I believe that Chu is going to make a fight right up until the last possible minute, so that he can take the position with factual evidence that he has done his absolute utmost. At the same time, it has been evident to Bunker and to me as well in our personal assessments that he has made up his mind to proceed. Since my first meeting with him this week, he has become relaxed and confident. I believe it is important that you bear in mind this in mind in developing a response.
I see. That's where you want to go then with the...
And he says, I'm confident that he does not expect any changes because of Lam's trip to Paris, but it will be less difficult if Lam is in Paris
mm-hmm.
once he decides to formally notify us of his acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
For this reason, I do not think we should challenge his decision. I completely agree with him on this. In fact, I had independently come.
Yeah, all right. Just say that I would say that I believe that Lam's going to Paris is a very good idea. That it will be a message to the world and to the North Vietnamese that we are in the closest of cooperation. It will also be a very salutary message to the members of our Congress and to the American people, as will, of course, the Vice President's trip at a later time and his and my meeting this spring. But say, on the other hand, I think that we must not wait until Tuesday for his private. And I'd like for him to convey to me in the most secret channel, through a back channel, his assurance that we are going to head to sign on that day. We'll make an effort after your conversations with Lunds to get, to work out things. But I must have his understanding that after we have made every effort and after the as we agree to initial, that we go along. And I must be able to tell the selected congressional leaders, people, those who are particularly his supporters, like Senator Sinnes and Senator Goldwater, that we are going ahead. Otherwise, I feel that if we wait until then, that it will appear that he went along unwillingly, and that would give our basically his enemies in the Senate and the Congress a chance to kill aid for Vietnam, which is, of course, something that I desperately am trying to save. Something like that.
Exactly. I agree completely.
Okay, if you can get the tone of that in it, that's fine.
Right, Mr. President. And I think it is on course, and it will go through.
Yeah.
Just nothing with these bloody Vietnamese works simply.
Well, at least, though, Henry, the North Vietnamese, you knew damn well we're coming along on the 9th, Tuesday. It took you 4 more days. This fellow doesn't let you know anything. Or is he?
He's sort of... We know about as much from him as we knew from the North Vietnamese on the 9th. It's just that with the North Vietnamese, we could meet 10 hours a day. And with this fellow, we have to do it by cable. It's about the same process. Once they agree in principle, then they start haggling over petty.
Well, he has agreed in principle, hasn't he? In fact, you pick up the morning paper, even as vicious a sheet as the Washington Post, and they say agreement in principle has been reached on the... there is agreement on the agreement, but he still has some objections to the protocol.
Exactly.
Well, now, you and I know the protocols don't mean a goddamn thing, but I agree that... I agree Sullivan did goof on that, but how the hell, Henry, can we watch everything? I mean, I would have known that, but he's a good man, but I would have known that you cannot change the bat. Let me put it this way. Sullivan, was he ever in the service? Well, you were, of course.
He was in the Navy.
I know. Well, so was I. Let me tell you something. The point about the pistols and the other. Do you realize that you have the problem with any police force where you have a police force which is army based? Damn it, enlisted men do. It's only officers that carry pistols. They don't even issue to enlisted men. They carry carbines. That's what this is all about. You know, Hugh's got a hell of a point there.
And if you
he'd have to change the whole. He'd have to give every one of these damn enlisted men pistols. And of course, that's a dangerous damn thing. A pistol can be concealed. It can be used to rape and everything else.
You, for riot control, you can't really use pistols.
I know that. I'm just sort of raising more of an esoteric point, which anybody could raise and say, look, you know, if a guy's carrying carbine, at least you know that. I mean, it's out there in the open where you're not going to shoot somebody with stealth.
Yeah.
With a pistol, that's only the prerogative of officers.
Exactly.
Well,
that was a mistake, but I think we may be able to do something. But if not, we can't hold up the agreement on that point.
Yeah. What's the other point he wants? Vietnamese leave.
All North Vietnamese leave. But he's now made a number of that we can handle. I've figured out a way. Not of what we, I thought.
You can't change anything. I thought you said you
can't change anything in the agreement. But what we can do.
Well, you can't even change anything in the protocol, can you, Tuesday? As I understand, you're just going over there to initial it, or is there?
Well, the protocols we have a little more flexibility with, because those were still being negotiated last week, and we can still say that I had never put my thumbprint on those.
Yeah.
So,
well, you can be very positive about it and say, look, we've got a lot of objection to the protocol. You could talk to the North Vietnamese, and the president just said, the hell with them all, but they're just one here that we just feel is fair enough we ought to have.
Right. Exactly. That we can do. We probably won't get it, but at least there we have a chance. On the North Vietnamese troops, I won't even raise it. The way to handle
No.
Is to give Chu a note saying that we do not construe anything in an agreement to give them the right to have troops there.
That's right. And that I will so state at a and that we will so state at a proper time.
Well, right.
That we will so state
right.
After the agreement is signed. Can we say that?
Yeah, after the agreement is signed, but I wouldn't say it before.
Yeah. Just say that I will make that we will, just not we, and we will make that position public after the agreement is signed.
Right.
Fine. Without equivocation.
Right.
Right. And that is the key thing is that we do not recognize that right, and that when we don't recognize it, right. Well, I have a feeling. I don't know. As I've always said, that he's got to go along. Apart from all these intercepts and the rest, there's only one thing that sort of got into my mind last night, which perhaps has occurred to you. I'm not sure how much you can rely on the intercepts. I mean, after all, these people are not stupid. And I remember when I was in Moscow and Peking, knowing the rooms were bugged, I used to say things, outlandish things sometimes, just for the purpose of putting them on the wrong trail. These characters may be doing this in order to set us up for a fall. Has that occurred to you?
Well, if it were only one bugged room, Mr. President, I would agree with you, and I thought that for a long time. But when corps commanders, regional commanders, other people have been given instructions, any one source,
yeah.
But when you get five or six sources all coming together saying the same thing, what you would then have is a massive deception campaign,
yeah.
Which is not totally impossible, but which is totally suicidal.
He tells all of his corps commanders, Henry, that it isn't going to happen. Why?
I mean, if he now tells his corps commanders that he has decided, he, the man who's prided himself on his friendship with America, that he has now decided to kick America in the teeth, to cancel his orders, it would be impossible.
Can he not be unaware of the enormous expectation that has now been raised here, and that can he not be unaware that not only is his aid jeopardized, but that there's no way that we can reverse this course? I mean, you remember, I never did like, and neither did you, Roger's constant use of the word irreversible, remember?
Yeah.
On Vietnamization. But now it is irreversible. You and I both know it.
No question.
I mean, you can carry a country just so far. And understand, it isn't irreversible if there was a horrible rape on the other side. But here, when he rapes himself, it's irreversible.
Well, and the other side has been very restrained this week.
Well, I know, but you see what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
We can do anything if there's an invasion and that sort of thing, then we can, you know, gin up people. But if, on the other hand, simply for the sake of fighting for a word in the protocol to the effect that police should carry carbines and also, or that the principle, an esoteric principle, that the North Vietnamese have no right to be in the South, if you think people are going to want us to bomb Hanoi for that? Hell no.
Exactly.
They don't give a damn about it. They say, well, Christ, if we say it particularly in that line, well, no use to rationalize and kid ourselves about it and convince ourselves. We're all convinced. I think it should be a rather soft answer that will turn away wrath, but very firm that I have to have an answer by Sunday that I can convey. Shall we say that I will convey to the congressional leaders, or do you want to say that I need an answer, or I will have to call? You see, the calling the congressional leader in if I don't get an answer is more of a threat. Calling him in, just a couple of his, you know, selected ones to tell them. I understand which do you think is the better way to play?
I think your suggestion is the better way of playing.
Just to say that before you go, that I have to call in some selected congressional leaders, a very, very small group of some who are his best friends, including Senator Gold, men like Senator Goldwater and Senator. And I need to inform them that at that point that and will of the problem of his objections. But I also they will tell him that we are going to head to initial. That she's going to meet with the foreign minister. I'm delighted that he's coming because I think it's important that we have a consultation, which we have had, and we have a public show of it right up to the last, up to the time of initial. But I need to tell them that, or they will not be able to stop the irresistible tide of his enemies, who would say that South Vietnam did not go along, that they were forced to go along, and therefore are not a dependable allies. Okay. Well, you know, just work the language out. I think if you want me to look at it, I can.
Mr. President, given your schedule today, I think your thought very well now.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just a question of you got the thought.
Is more important.
Sure.
I'll show it to you right after the
parade. No. I don't. I really don't need to see it. I don't need to see it unless you think I need to.
I think what we discussed is exactly what we put in there.
Well, fine. You go right ahead and send her off then. The main thing is to get the darn thing over there, Henry.
Right.
And I realize that. Don't worry about me. I can. I've got the thought across. And when you finally come down to it, it's more the mood than anything else. Two things: the mood and the deadline. He's got to know both. Now, just to go down the road on the contingency. Suppose he wires back and says no. I'll have to say that he says I cannot agree until we see what the final.
Then we can still give him till noon on Tuesday.
All right. Then on noon on Tuesday. Then we have to go.
I would still announce the agreement.
In other words, your view is you will come back and say you wouldn't say that he wasn't going along, but you'd say that he was. Now on the other contingency we have to have in mind. Which I know you've always ruled out. Suppose, are we inciting him to come out and make a public statement before Tuesday that he won't go along?
We'll never be worse off. This will be so much the worst for him, Mr. President.
Yeah.
That he can never be better off making it early rather than late.
Mm-hmm. You believe that his interests absolutely require him to keep his objections in private channels at this point.
That's right. Until we absolutely force him to go public by some irreversible action on our part.
Well, that's going to be Tuesday, isn't it?
That will be after Tuesday. He won't do it.
No. But I mean, I have to go public Tuesday. That's my point.
That's right.
Your initialing, of course, will go, and then I announce it publicly, and I would I just put it coldly that you will go there, you will meet, you will do the best you can, you'll meet with his foreign minister, you will work in the protocols, but then that I have directed you to initial it at that point, and I will announce it Tuesday night.
Right.
Fine. Okay. Fine.
get the inauguration behind us before starting another one.
Mm-hmm. No problems with any of our bureaucratic friends?
Well, I don't think we should let them in on any of this.
Oh, of course not. Never, 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 never. And, incidentally, do you think it's necessary to inform, very good point, and this is in order, there is to be no informing of allies with regard to the Tuesday night thing, like Australia, is that clear?
Absolutely, I've already taken care of that.
And are you sure that Green isn't going to slip a message out to him or something, or they're not going to call the ambassador in?
No,
the ambassador's not to be called and informed.
Well, Green doesn't even know yet when the message is, so he can't slip him in.
Okay, you understand?
Green won't know until Tuesday morning. No, we'll sit on that.
You understand, it's just a matter of...
Neither Australia nor New Zealand.
That's right. And needless to say, not Canada.
Oh, but Canada, Mr. President, we must, because they are on the international supervisory body. And Canada, actually, the...
Bullshit.
The trouble is that Trudeau governs together with that leftist party, and he was in a box there.
No, he can make all the excuses he wants, Henry. I'm through with him.
Well, that...
Totally.
That I agree with.
Totally, totally. All right. Inform them. You can inform them 15 minutes before. Now, that's an order.
Right.
No, I don't... Not more than 15 minutes. I don't care they're on the supervisory body. They are not to have any advance information. Is that clear?
Right.
The message is not to be from me. Is that clear?
Oh, that is clear.
Under no... My name is not to be mentioned. There is no appreciation for that. There's to be no response to anything he says saying... But we're glad that this thing is over. I want no responses to anybody of that sort, either individual or governmentally. Is that absolutely clear?
Fully clear.
There is, I'll fire the whole State Department.
Fully clear, Mr. President.
Okay. Good luck.
Right.